And I want to share some things with you this morning that I think are important. But most of all, I think it's because I really believe the Holy Spirit directed me to this for a reason. I want to talk about John preaching to the people. He was preaching repentance. Come and repent. That's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, and it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And this is he who was spoken of," that is, they're now speaking of John and his job, "by the prophet Isaiah saying this, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" So, you know, no one's going to come close to the Lord until they repent. A lot of people try to do that without repentance, but for the most part, it's not for real. We need to see where we're at. We need to see where we need to be in the Lord. You know, Lord, you know, everybody thinks the Lord just takes anything, anybody, just as long as you come. Oh, this is so good. You know, great, I love you so much that you don't have to change. Just come to me and love me. And, you know, that's not really true. Have you ever read The Rich Young Ruler? When he went to Jesus and the rich, and Jesus said to him, he said, "Well, the rich young ruler wanted to know, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Well, keep the commandments." Oh, he says, "I've done that from my youth up." And Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. Then take up your cross and follow me." And it says that the man was sorrowful because he had many riches, and he walked away sorrowfully. And the disciples are like, I know they were thinking, "Man, Lord, what are you doing? We could have had him, man. We would have had plenty of money to do ministry." You know how you think sometimes. And I'm sure that ran through their head. And here you say he's got to give everything away. And then he walked away sorrowfully. You see, you don't just come to the Lord any way you think you want to. You've got to come his way. And that's why the Lord sent John the Baptist to preach to him, repent. Hey, the kingdom of God is at hand, and you've got to repent to come to it. And so he cried this out to all of the people, and they came from everywhere. You see, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, and his gospel was repent. Now, I wonder how many churches would really want John in as their pastor. You know, I kind of wondered that. You know, every sermon, repent, you sinner, you know. But it's a good message. It's for real. And you know, if we all did that, you know what would happen? Oh, we'd be so close to the Lord. We would be so close to the Lord. See, he doesn't require much. But what he requires, he knows that we have to get rid of. We have to. Because it only hurts us. Do y'all know that? God does everything for our benefit. Everything. He doesn't want to just say, "Well, repent," because he doesn't like you so much. It's because he loves you. And he knows what sin and the corruptness and how the heart changes and how you can become bitter because of hurts and things that happen to you. So he wants you to repent. You need to give it up. So it's all for our benefit. And I'm not even on my notes. You know, I go to Carex, and it's a great organization because we have our weekends. There's people that are saved when we do a four-day weekend. We got a prison weekend coming up here in 2 weeks, I believe, up at Kinross. I'm going up there for that as well. And but, you know, we had to do our practices, and so I practiced the talks that I had, or the one. And the Lord kind of, you know how I get off my notes? Well, I got off my notes. And boy, I really felt anointed. And I preached. And I got in trouble afterwards. There was about three or four of the guys that were there that said, first of all, you need to stay on subject. And then what's all this talk about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and all this other stuff? We don't want that. We don't believe in it. And so I was really hurt over that. Not because of what they thought of me. I could care less. You know what I mean? I'm used to that. You know, it does still hurt, but it doesn't devastate. So I rolled with it, and I said, oh, okay, yeah, you're probably right. But the biggest problem I had that I thought of is, Lord, did I bring you dishonor? Did I say something that would make people turn from you and not want to receive you and not know that you love them and you care for them? That hurt me. I was crushed because I don't want to hurt the Lord. That's not why he called me to preach. So that was my big issue. And for a while with them, good people, I just got to not talk so much about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I don't know where you guys are, you know, but it's hard going into a new church and you try to preach and you don't know where the people are. You don't know what kind of teaching you had and how you believe or anything like that. And sometimes the people get offended because you talk to stuff like that. And it's like, it always bothered me. I'm like, okay, what do these people believe? You know, how far can I go? How deep can I go in the word without them not ever calling me back? And I get a lot of no calls backs. So I'm kind of used to that, and it's okay. And so I wonder about that. But, you know, yeah, I'm off my notes again, but I have to. I got to be done at 10 o'clock, right? No? Oh, wow. You guys are liberal in a good way. but, good. So I don't have to, I'm trying to rush here. That's why I'm not standing on notes, I guess. But the Lord has dealt with me just Monday. You know, I was feeling kind of down. And I didn't have the relationship when I went into my quiet time with the Lord. I didn't sense the Lord's presence like he normally is there. And I had a hard time, you know, even in my studying and it just wasn't the same. And so finally I just stopped and I said, Lord, have I sinned? Have I done something wrong? Lord, show me so I can repent. You know, because I don't like this. And so then the Holy Spirit came. But the thing is, he didn't, I don't know, you've probably had this before, the Holy Spirit came to me, and I know he was there, but he didn't say anything. It was just like, instead of stuff just kind of being, you ever see a hazy picture? The haze left, and it was just clear. And I didn't know, I had no idea what the issue was, and then I realized what it was. It was, I was contemplating of maybe cutting messages back and not sharing what the Holy Spirit wanted me to share. so that I wouldn't upset people so much. And the Holy Spirit dealt with me and he says, you're not going to do that. And so I made up my mind right there. I love the people in all these churches and I know they're there in their place with the teaching they have, and that's okay. But I am not going to hesitate trying to share what God gives me to share with the people. So I made up my mind on that. So then everything was good. Everything cleared up. And I'm like, wow, okay. That's better than having sin in your life. Amen. So the Lord dealt with me on that. And that's where I'm at. I'm not going to compromise. You know, he didn't call any of us to compromise. You're saved. You have Jesus in your heart. He promised you the Holy Spirit. And you're to take a stand no matter what it costs. Because you love Jesus. Now look at the stand that Jesus took. What if he would have compromised? Where would we be today? You'd all be on your way to hell. Wouldn't we? All of us would be. But Jesus didn't compromise. He hung in there. He said, hey, whatever the cost, I'm doing it. And so he died on Calvary's cross, rose the third day, sitting now at the right hand of the Father. And you and I are very comfortable because we have Jesus in our lives and in our heart. And we can know for sure that we're going to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. God is so good. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are with, you know, the eclipse is tomorrow. People are some people are afraid to get on the road tomorrow to go anywhere. There's a lot of fear out there. But, you know, we shouldn't have any fear. What if the Lord came tomorrow? Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't it? Man, I can't wait for that time. We've been waiting for how many years for this? Over 2,000 years now. So anyway, let me get back to my notes and I might make more sense. Number two, convictions. Purpose is to bring repentance, of course. Matthew 3:7-9, it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to the baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers. Boy, how would you feel if somebody said that to you? I'm leaving. I'm not even staying for this service. Right? We get offended so easily. And here, John, you brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? I don't think he was warm and fuzzy all the time. You know what I mean? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say to you, God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. You know, we do a lot of that too. A lot of, well, I'm a member of such and such church. Yeah, I remember when I went up and I prayed the prayer and put my name on the list. And man, I've been a member of that church for 50 years. And people think that, okay, since I've done that and have been there that long, that I'm okay. You know, when the Lord convicted me, that's what I thought. I said, I'm okay. Guy said to me, he said, hey, Jim, if you died tonight, where are you going to go, heaven or hell? I thought, what a dumb question. You know, how dare you ask me something like that? And it was in public. There was a lot of people around. There were like 30 people around. And I said, well, I'm going to heaven. How about you? You going to hell? And then I walked off. Because I thought I was okay. I hadn't killed anybody. I hadn't robbed a bank. You know, I haven't done all of this. You know, I was pretty good considering other people. But you can't judge yourself by others. So I took a few steps and the Lord spoke to me. And he always calls me by name and he says, Jim, if you die tonight, you go straight to hell. That's truth from God. Scared me to death. It scared me. I went home. My wife was a little Baptist girl, you know, and so I said, how do you get saved? She said, well, just believe. You know, I believe in the virgin birth. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He came to be our Savior. I believe that he died on Calvary's cross for our sins. And I believe he rose the third day. What else do I have to believe? And she says, I don't know. And so then she sigged the pastor of a church on me and all this. But anyway, I was convicted. Folks, don't get angry at conviction. If you're sitting in here and something is shared that brings a little conviction, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like to deal with their past. They like to cover it up. And they want to run from it, thinking it'll go away. It never goes away. It doesn't. It's there. And so you got to deal with it. And thank God for repentance. And the conviction of it. Boy, we need that so much. Let me ask you this. A lot of people, well, I repented, and I'm okay. What does true repentance look like? Have you ever thought about that? Is it just a remorse? You just feel bad about it? Part of it. How about Zacchaeus? Remember Zacchaeus, little Zacchaeus, biggest sinner in Israel? Or in Jerusalem? Well, that's what the Pharisees say. But he climbed a tree just to see Jesus because he was coming by that place. Jesus looked up and seen him. He said, come on down here. He says, I'm going to go eat at your house today. So he went. Of course, the Pharisees and all of them were condemning. Doesn't your master know that this is a sinner and why would he do that? And Zacchaeus, shortly after Jesus was there, had been convicted. Man, you get around Jesus, you're going to be convicted. And then he repented. And then he said this in front of everybody. He said, Lord, half of what I have, I'm giving it to the poor. And he said, if I've said or done anything, cheated people out of anything, he said, I'll repay them four times. And what did Jesus say? Today, salvation has come to this house. Folks, that's what repentance is like. I can remember me when I finally got saved. I had a neighbor who I did not like at all. And you know what I did? I gave him a fat hog. I raised pigs and cows. We had a farm. And I gave him a fat hog. It was ready for market. Probably brought $300 at that time. And so I told his son to tell him that if you guys are low on meat, we'll load one up for you. And so he came back and got it. His son did. He didn't, because he knew. He thought maybe it's a trick and he's just going to do something drastic when I get there. So he wouldn't come. So I gave him a hug because I wanted to make it right. Man, I was convicted and I repented of my sins. So I'm wanting to make it right. And after that, at work, anybody remember payphones? There was a payphone at work. And I learned a certain way that if you put a coin in it and then hit it on the side while it's going down, then it'll just fall through. And you can make your call. Yeah, it was neat, you know. All I needed is one quarter. And so I put that in there and got it to go through. But do you know that Monday, I went back and I'm trying to get that. I'm looking around first and I'm trying to get that quarter to go in there without me making a call. Because I cheated them out of a quarter. So I'm trying to get the quarter back in there, and I tried several different times. Nothing works. You pick up the receiver, you put the money in, and then you wait a few minutes, and then you hang up. Well, then it kicks it out. So anyway, I'm just saying repentance changes you. Conviction, if you're truly convicted and you repent, you want to make things right. You want to change things. It's not just a feeling or just an emotion. It's a real thing. And then another thing here. We desperately need the Holy Spirit and His fire. Desperately. Matthew 3:11 and 12 says this. John speaking, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. And another one in Romans 13:11 through 14 says that we're to wake up. We're to wake up and we're to put on Christ. It's important to do that. In fact, let me read it real fast. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. You know, a lot of churches are asleep today. Good people. But there's no fire. We're used to doing the things that we've always done, and works out good. And there's a lot of people I know that think, don't rock the boat. Everything is good. We're happy. Leave us alone. But we need that fire. And it says, it's time to wake up. Let me continue. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly in the day, not in rivalry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You know, if you believe 50 years ago, you know you're 50 years closer to when Jesus is coming back. And it's close now, let me tell you. It's real close. They've been looking for over 2,000 years. We're the generation. That's us. So it's like, if we're wanting to really get in touch with God, we need to see where we're at. We need to get on fire. Folks, I'm going to tell you, what good is a smoldering fire? It just smokes you out, right? It builds creosote up on the pipes. And it's more harmful than good, really. You don't get any heat from it. It just smolders. And that's how I feel that I don't ever want to be. You know, I want to be excited in the Lord. I like excitement. Do y'all know there's people that are bored being Christians? Really? Jesus said for the church, he says, go cast out demons. Heal the sick. Prophesy, speak into people's lives. But you can't do that when you're smoldering. People are just cough. You got to get on fire. Man, do you realize how powerful Jesus is and how powerful the Holy Spirit is in your life? I grabbed this drummer one day. He was standing up and they were praying, had the invitation going, and the Lord told me, go hug him. Go hug that drummer. And I'm like, I don't know why, but he said to do it. So I went up and I held him. And after a while, you know, half a minute, quite a little while, I hugged him and then I started to let go. And the Lord said, not yet. Okay. So I did it for a couple of minutes or so then, and I said, surely that's enough. And I started to let go, and the Lord said, not yet. So I'm, all right, I'm standing here until it's really time. Lord, you'll just have to tell me. Well, after I held him for maybe two or three more minutes, you know what happened? He started to tremble. I didn't know what was going on, but he was trembling. And so I left and was doing other things. This one little girl stood and she had her hands up like this. And then all of a sudden I seen her facial change from being happy and like she was praying to the Lord to where it was like disappointment and frustration. And she went and sat down. So the Lord told me to call her up. Okay. Young lady, you want to come up here? And so she was coming up, and she thought she was in trouble. And then when she got up to me, I said, you're disappointed in the Lord, aren't you? And she looked at me like, how did you know? And I said, but you know, the Lord wants to do a real work in your life right now. Are you ready for it? And she just looked at me like, nothing's ever happened before. I just touched her shoulder and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Started speaking in tongues, crying, hands up, just the joy on her face, excitement. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we don't need to be bored. If you are, let the Holy Spirit fire you up. There's things that will happen that we don't know why we do it, but we do it and the Lord honors that and then he blesses people. Now, here's what I really wanted to get to. After the Holy Spirit dealt with me by not compromising the word, but preaching it, he sent me, I got this video no less off of Facebook. Friend sent it. And it said this. See if I can find the right place. It talked about two preachers. One was Charles Spurgeon. Everybody here, you ever hear Charles Spurgeon there? Yep. Well, he prophesied this. He said, by the end of the 19th century, the time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, it says the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. And then another one. How about William Booth? Anybody know about William Booth? Salvation Army founder? Right? This is what he prophesied. He said the chief dangers of the 20th century will be a religion without the Holy Spirit, which what I faced at Carex just from three or four guys. I talked to a lot of the other guys, or they contacted me days and weeks later, and they said they had never been so touched and felt the anointing of God and thanked me for sharing. See, they say compromise, but the only ones that compromise is us, those that believe the word. And it's like, no more compromise. Number two, first is religion without the Holy Spirit. Then it's Christianity without Christ. Oh, I'm saved. Well, you love Jesus? Oh, yeah. But there's no relationship. Another one, forgiveness without repentance. Salvation without regeneration. Do you ever wonder about people? They go forward, they get saved. You talk to them through the week and you can't even tell anything happened. Folks, there's no regeneration. Nothing happened. Politics without God? Surely we don't have that. How about heaven without hell? No fear anymore. God's love. Now these were just prophecies that they prophesied back in the 1800s and early 1900s. And they're on us today. Folks, this is scary. Both Spurgeon and Booth saw a time coming when the watered-down gospel would produce a counterfeit Christianity. And folks, that's what we got. Not here, I've heard your teaching, but it's in other churches, in a lot of other churches. I've talked to pastors before and I said, man, why don't you get more into the word? Oh, we have new people and they wouldn't understand anyway. Besides, if I make them mad, they won't come back. Sad, but true. One characteristic of a counterfeit Christianity is that there would be forgiveness without any repentance. So this is not the future. Churches have been victimized by watered down gospels preached by clowns masquerading as shepherds when in fact they're only entertaining the goats. And I'm going to tell you right now, you should be grateful for any pastor that would come into you and love you enough and take the chance regardless of what you might feel about them, but they would come in and share the word of God, the gospel that can save your soul, than to just come in to get a bunch of laughs and to make you feel good. Man, I like doing that too. I've done it once or twice before and it's fun. But I never accomplished anything. Folks, we really need to wake up. God loves us so much. He wants to change our lives. He wants to take us into rapture. He wants us to live forever in heaven with Him. But you see, it's our choice. It's what? A lot of people think, oh no, I'm okay. I hope you are. But what if you're not? What if you're not? Father, I thank you for your word today. And I ask, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you would make it so real to each of us. Lord, let us look to you. And you share and show us, Lord, what's in our heart. Is Jesus there? Or, Lord, do I need to repent? I ask, Lord, that you would minister to each of us here, that you would love on them and make it be known that this is so important for them to be right with you so that they could live with you forever and ever. Let your fire fall on your people and on your church today, Lord. Thank you for this great privilege that you've given me. In Jesus' name, amen.